Hi. I'm Mike. I'm 45 years old. I've been married for 25 years. Yes. And I love my wife and my four kids. Today I get to teach on a passage that I've not come close to mastering. It's hard to admit, but it's true. Honestly, I fail at it all the time. I stand up here humbled by this text, and I hope that today that you'll listen with grace in your heart, that you'll apply these commands obediently to your marriage, and strive as I have to understand how to live this out every hour of every day in your relationship with your spouse. Our series is called Rooted, and our heart has been to teach through the book of Colossians to study and apply how we might live our lives rooted in Jesus Christ, all of our lives. And our key passage is in chapter 2, verses 6 and 7, and I want to read it again. It says, "So then, just as you received Christ as Lord, continue to live your lives in Him, rooted and built up in Him, strengthened in the faith as you were taught, and overflowing with thankfulness." And this includes our marriages, to live our marriages in Him, marriages that are rooted and built up in Him, marriages that are strengthened in the faith, and marriages that are overflowing with thankfulness. And I want that for Rhonda and me. I want that for you and your spouse as well. So today we embark on a journey to look at some simple verses that are incredibly complicated and challenging to live out. I realize that in this room, we have every level of marriage represented. We have newlyweds, couples that are just starting out on their journey together, new, fresh, and bright-eyed as they start this incredible journey together of love and life. And we also have couples that have been married 50, 60-plus years. You've weathered many storms together, and you're still deeply in love. More now, maybe, than when you started. And we have couples that have had terrible loss. We have couples that have experienced divorce. Couples that have lots of kids and couples that don't have any kids. Couples that have figured out how to relate and communicate to each other. And couples, honestly, who are in the middle of incredible strife and pain, wondering if this thing called marriage is even really worth it. There are couples where both of you are following Christ faithfully. And there are couples where maybe only one of you follows Christ. Some of you are sitting here alone this morning, and your spouse is at home and won't have anything to do with church or God, and you are lonely and you're hurting. There's so many expressions of marriage in this room. And in all of this, I just want you to know that we love you and that God loves you and is glorified by our desire to follow Him in this crazy thing called marriage. It's been the greatest joy in my life, and it's been one of the most difficult things in my life. Can I get an amen? Right? I pray that as we look at this passage this morning, that it gives you one more thing to process, one more thing to work on as you live to honor and obey Christ in your own life and in your marriage as well. So I have a question, and I'm going to ask this to you, and I want you to tell your neighbor the answer, all right? When I say the word submission, do positive or negative words and images come to mind? Share. Share. I hear a lot of ladies speaking right now. I'm just saying. Just an observation from the cheap seats. Okay, when I say the word love, do positive or negative words or images come to mind? Share. Well, there's no conversation on that one. Woo! Well, these passages this morning that we're going to look at use both of these words. How we think about them and how we define them can really mess with our interpretation of what this means for us as Christians and as married couples. So let's take a look at the text for today. It's found in Colossians 3, verses 18 and 19. So read it on the screen and pick up your copy of your digital Bible if you'd like. That would be great as well. So here we go, verses 18 and 19. Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands, as is fitting in the Lord. Husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. So let me paint a picture for you. You see, there was an ideal. It was the perfect situation. Two people who were madly in love with each other, with not one issue between them. They lived in perfect unity in everything. They knew how to communicate perfectly with each other, understanding their emotional and relational complexities, navigating them with ease. They weren't selfish in the least way, and they always put the needs of the other person first. They truly loved each other deeply, and they cared for each other. They had zero issues. In fact, their whole world was perfect. There was no sickness, no disease. Nothing was corrupt or tainted. They had the most perfect living arrangements ever. And spiritually, they were as close to God as they could be. But one day, something went terribly wrong. An opportunity, an option made itself available. But that option was strictly forbidden by God. They knew it. They thought about it. They considered it. But it was just too good to pass up. It seemed to be the thing that would really make things complete. So they took advantage of it. And when they did, everything fell apart. Immediately, their lives changed. Everything was broken. They now saw this broken world. Sin had entered the picture. They saw all the flaws, not only in the other person, but in themselves. And because of this, this perfect union, this incredible relationship, would forever be changed. And not only between them and God, but with each other. There were consequences to their choices. Consequences that we, as married couples, are still suffering. We're living in the reality of that broken world with broken people and broken relationships. With God and with each other. The curse that was given as a penalty for their sin was brutal. And it's the basis for a major problem in our marriage relationships today. Genesis 3:16 spells it out for us. It says this, "To the woman God said, I will make your pains in childbearing very severe. With painful labor you will give birth to children. Your desire will be for your husband and he will rule over you." Your desire will be for your husband. This isn't a good thing. The wife will desire to rule her husband, to manipulate him, to selfishly get her way, far from the ideal that he created for them. And then it says that the husband will rule over you. Again, part of the fall. The husband will abandon his desire to love and to cherish his wife. And he'll desire to dominate her, to control her in a harsh way, to selfishly get his way, moving further and further away from God's desired plan for oneness. What a sad ending to their story. What an unfortunate thing that we must work through. But God has made a way for us to experience his original ideal. He has made a way through Jesus to fix the brokenness, to heal our relationships with him and with each other. And he's given us his word to help us navigate this thing called marriage. And that's what we're going to try to do today. To look at two simple commands in his word, and with all of its complications, strive to obey fully and with abandonment what he has called us to do as husbands and wives. So let's look at this passage again, Colossians 3. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. And husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them." Submit and love. Both require an action. They both require surrender. Both are sacrificial. Both require one person to put the other person first. You can't get around the fact that the husband and the wife were both given a specific command, and we are called to obedience. So let's look at submission first. I have a podium here for the first time in a long time because I didn't know if some of you ladies were going to come prepared with something to throw at me. So I do have protection. I just want you to know. To submit means to voluntarily place oneself under the authority or direction of another person. Colossians 3:18 to 25, this word is used several times. It's used of wives, it's used of children, and it's used of slaves. And its parallel passage in Ephesians 5 says that it implies submission of all believers, even from husbands to wives. It says to submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. Submission isn't just a marriage thing. It's a biblical thing. You can see it play out in the relationships within the Trinity. You see it in Jesus' relationship to his Father, submitting his will to the Father. It plays out in our relationships with each other. And as expressed in Colossians 3, it clearly has a place in the marriage relationship. Now, there's no question that submission is a loaded word. It carries with it a ton of baggage. And here are some of the misconceptions. If a woman submits, she must be a doormat. She can't think for herself. She needs a man to tell her what to do. She has no backbone. She's weak. She's considered a second-class citizen. She's not viewed as an equal to her husband. She should blindly follow her husband without asking any questions. She's not allowed to talk back to her husband when she disagrees with something. All women are to submit to all men. These are some terrible misconceptions about the concept of submission that I think we need to do away with and redefine if there is any hope of applying this to our own marriage. Submit. I mean, I can feel the pain of that word. So much has been done to denigrate and subjugate and abuse and oppress women. And some, sadly, even using this verse to do it. And the last thing that I would want to communicate to you guys this morning is that women are second-class citizens, that they are weak, and they are less than men. Because I do not believe that, nor do I believe this passage teaches that. I have a wife and three daughters and a girl dog. It's the truth. Who are extremely strong, gifted, talented women. My mom and my two grandmothers were strong, godly, gifted women who loved their families, who loved their husbands, and who loved their God. I currently serve with several women on our church staff here at Hopewell that are incredible leaders, gifted in their work, and successful in their marriages and in their families. And I've had the privilege of working with some extremely gifted women, leaders, as volunteers in my ministry here at Hopewell. So whatever submit means in this passage, it isn't all the negative stuff our culture would tell us it means. So to be obedient, we really have to process and understand what it means for wives to submit to their husbands. Notice Paul says at the end, Wives, submit to your husbands as is fitting in the Lord. This is God's way. This is God's plan for marriage. I had an old preacher friend who used to define submission in this way to couples that he was counseling. He'd say this, ladies, submission is ducking so that God hits your husband. Now, I don't know how accurate that is, but I kind of like it. It makes sense to me. I believe that God has placed the responsibility of spiritual leadership on us as husbands. And it doesn't mean that as a wife, you aren't spiritual. In fact, the opposite is true. God said that we guys need help. Can I get an amen? And I can affirm that's true in my life. I really thought the ladies would go amen on that one. I can attest that is true in my life. Rhonda is a huge help to me. She speaks truth into my life. She's a godly woman who's seeking God's direction, and she tells me what God is showing her and speaking to her about in specific issues that we're going through as a family. I value greatly her wisdom, and I would be foolish to think that I'm the only one who hears from God. She holds me accountable to seek the Lord for our lives and is my closest friend and ally as we walk this life together. But she also defers to me and trusts me to make the best decisions for our family. And that's what submission looks like in our marriage. And as a pastor, I have the privilege of performing weddings. And with weddings come premarital counseling. And I really love this part of my job because meeting with couples to talk about the relationship is really rewarding. And I'm allowed into their lives, and I count that as a real honor and a blessing. And sometimes this issue comes up, the issue of submission, usually in a negative way. And we have the opportunity to talk about the roles that God's given us as husbands and wives. You see, before Christ, we are all equal. I love Colossians 3:11. It says that here there is no Gentile or Jew, circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave, or free, but Christ is all and is in all. Or Galatians 3:28 that says, there is neither Jew nor Gentile, neither slave nor free, nor is there male and female, for you are all one in Christ Jesus. And I believe that to be very true. But I also believe we play different roles, not one better or more important, just different. And I believe that God has given us these commands through his word to help us experience his best plan for our lives and marriage. Wives, submitting to your husband is a choice of your will. It is never okay for us to demand that you submit. That is not cool, and flat out, it's a sin on our part if that's happening. I'm not sure what submission looks like exactly. I think it will look different in every relationship. But I think at a minimum, it will include some of the character traits and qualities that have been spelled out for us in earlier verses in Colossians. Here are a few things that I think are part of submission. Chapter 3, verse 12 of Colossians gives us some insight that it includes a wife's compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience with her husband. It certainly means that she is faithful to him, that she controls her anger toward him, that she is honest with him, that she, this is a big one, that she puts up with him and forgives him. And lastly, verse 14, that she loves him. And in this context, submit to your husbands includes all of that. So with that list in mind, how are you doing? How are you doing? Submission is about encouraging your husband to lead and then following his leadership, even if he's bad at it. It means to support and respect and work with your husband to accomplish God's plan for your marriage and your family. As you submit, you are obeying God's command, trusting in him to take care of you, and respecting your husband by honoring him and helping him to be what God has called him to be. That's submission. Now for the guys. Let's look at love. Colossians 3:19. It says, husbands, love your wives and don't be harsh with them. What about love? And there's no question that love too is a loaded and misunderstood word, right? It has so many meanings today, and it's really hard to define, especially for us guys. I love my wife. I love a good steak. I love football. Love is thrown around so loosely nowadays, its meaning has become trivialized. We hear our teenage kids say that they love someone, and we think, isn't that cute? But we're no better sometimes. I love you might just be a phrase that we throw around too. But guys, do we really grasp how important this command is? To love our wives, not just to say it, but to do it? Again, we've got to recapture the importance of this command and put it into practice so that we can have a marriage that is everything that God planned it to be. Well, the word love in Colossians 3:19 is the word agape. It's the unconditional type of love. And guys, we're called to love our wives in a sacrificial, serving, unconditional way. Ephesians 5 says that we're to love her as Christ loves the church and gave himself up for her. Whoa. That is serious. Are we doing that? This isn't an option. This is a command. We are to love our wives like that. I am so challenged by this command. As I said earlier, I fail at this all the time. We can take some cues from other verses in Colossians as well to get a clue on what our love towards our wives should look like. It's all here. And it says this, to love my wife, I must be faithful to her mentally, emotionally, and physically. Colossians 3:5 says, put to death, therefore, whatever belongs to your earthly nature, sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and greed. Are you unfaithful to your wife in any of these areas? If so, you're not loving her. It says, don't treat her or talk to her with anger. Colossians 3:8. But now you must also rid yourselves of all such things as these: anger, rage, malice, slander, and filthy language from your lips. Guys, are you abusive with your wife? Verbally, physically? It has to stop. If that's happening in your marriage, you are not loving her as Christ has commanded us to love our wives. Colossians 3:9 says, to be honest with her. It says, don't lie to each other, since you've taken off your old self with its practices. Are you completely honest with your wife? Are there any secrets? You need to deal with that. You need to come clean. You need to love your wife and be honest with her. Treat her with compassion and kindness and humility and gentleness and patience. Are you gentle or are you harsh? How would you characterize how you treat this woman, this gift that God has given you? It says to put up with her and to forgive her. It says, bear with each other and forgive one another if any of you has a grievance against someone. And I love this qualifier. It says, forgive as the Lord forgave you. There is no act of sin that your wife will commit against you that is greater than your sin towards Jesus. We have to live and forgiveness. It'll grow into bitterness. It'll grow into temptation. Pursue your wife. Forgive her. Restore your relationship. And then the last thing, verse 14, it says, and over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Do you love her? Does she know it? And is it played out in some of these descriptions? Man, if we could just put these few things into practice on a daily basis, our marriages would be so much healthier and honoring to God. So love your wife now. Love her now. What a challenge for us as husbands and wives in these two short verses. And this isn't the only verse of instruction in the Bible that's given to help us in our marriage, but it's enough. It's so important that we grasp the importance of loving and submitting. I'm so thankful that we don't do this alone, that we have the power of the Holy Spirit helping us, guiding us. We have each other as spouses to mutually love and encourage each other. And we have the body of Christ, a sharpening tool of accountability when we're vulnerable enough to be held accountable. And we have God's word, verses like this, to help us understand what God's will is for us in our marriage. Now, as I close, I heard a really cute story I'd like to share. A 7-year-old girl has just seen Cinderella, and she's testing her grandmother's knowledge of the story. And the grandma, wanting to impress her granddaughter, said, "I know what happens in the end." And the granddaughter says, "What?" And the grandma says, "Cinderella and the prince live happily ever after." To which the little girl answered, "Oh, no, they didn't. They got married." Oh. No fairy tales allowed. Just real people with real issues and hopefully real love for each other. God's ideal was tainted with Adam and Eve, and we're still wrestling with the consequences of that situation. But I believe it does have the hope of a happily ever after. Thanks be to God. We have Jesus. We have the Holy Spirit to help us grow, to be like Him, to submit to each other, to love each other, and to respect each other. And as we do that, we worship Him and we honor Him with our marriages. So love your wife and submit to your husband, all for the glory of God and to His honor. Let's pray. Lord, this really is a difficult passage to wrestle with. I'm just going to trust that your Holy Spirit will take the words that I've said, you will take your word, and you will use it to minister and to help and to guide and direct couples in this church. Lord, you've spoken to my heart. You've challenged me. And I pray that you would be the head, you would be the boss of our marriages in this church. You would be the boss of my marriage. God, we want you to be the center of our lives, that we would worship you and we would pursue oneness as you've called us to. So we give you this. We give you our lives. We give you our marriages. May you be honored. May you be worshiped. May you be glorified in our lives. And we pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. Amen.